AXFMradio.org.
This disclaimer is a statement notifying listening audiences that any opinions expressed on our shows are not representative of Laguna Radio, Inc., its management, or its board of directors.
Well, I definitely have something very special for you guys today. I am joined for an awesome cast to discuss vintage homes. And this is really cool to me because I love HGTV and all of that stuff. So getting to have this interview is really cool. So I am joined today by Dan Vickery from Frozen in Time on Discovery Plus, Allison Martino, who does Vintage Los Angeles on Instagram, if I could read, and Facebook. So, and Julie Lawton, who is our namesake of this wonderful building. Hi, guys. How are we doing today?
Wonderful.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Of course. I'm so excited that you guys wanted to do this. And I know our town is excited about this, too, because we did get a bunch of questions in. And people want to know, why vintage homes and why are you drawn to vintage things? Like, what brings you to them? What do you enjoy about it? Tell me. Tell everybody.
Dan?
Even before being on Frozen in Time, which is a show on Discovery Plus where Maureen McCormick and I, best known as Marcia Brady, take homes stuck in the past, like the 50s, 60s, 70s, and try and update them. But bring in a modern twist. Long before I was on the show, like I always said, my style is modern history. I think that some of the best things in design have already been done. And if we're going to do great design, we need to learn from the masters. And if we're lucky, we can improve upon it.
I agree. Allison, what do you think?
I agree. I mean, I'm born and raised here in LA. And there was a certain aesthetic when I was growing up. For example, the area of Truesdale in Beverly Hills wasn't really a desirable area. The houses were mid-century modern, but we didn't call them mid-century modern. They were more contemporary homes. And in the last 10 years, that is now where everybody wants to live, in the mid-century modern homes that have made this incredible resurgence, like Palm Springs. You know, everybody wants to live this Palm Springs lifestyle with the caftans and the vintage, you know, furniture. And I'm starting to see it a lot more here in Los Angeles, too.
That's cool. Yeah. I disagree with Dan that everything that's been done has been done very well. And that's the cool part. So now we can move forward and maybe reinvent and take flavors. But it's the core of the most beautiful time periods. My favorite time period is 1930s, but the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and that classic mid-century modern, which is the rage, there's the most thoughtful, amazing, intelligent design was done during that time period. It's quite fascinating to me. I mean, it's over the top. So
the best part of that too is we've also seen all the mistakes and we can learn from that. So
yes, I mean, that's
part of the great thing about renovating an old house is we get to highlight all the things that, you know, 50, 60, 70 years later are still fantastic and kind of erase the things that aren't working so well.
Yes. Correct. It's funny how you move it forward and you're like, oh, how they live this way, all these walls, because we take all the walls out. You know, the lifestyle was different.
Now, Julie, you mentioned that the 30s is your favorite. What draws you to that time period?
I like Hollywood glam, Art Deco. I just in love with the 30s, 1927 to 1932. I'm stuck on it. I can't help it. I don't know what it is when I stand in a building that's from that time period or even the turn of the century. For me, something about Art Deco. I don't know if it's the style, it's the women's clothing on the movies. I don't know. It's something about Art Deco. Again, it goes back to those designers because they went from the industrial age to kind of the modern streamline. It was only a short period in history when that happened. So I just have a fascination with that because it cleaned up the Victorian turn of the century. And there was a specific, the Bauhaus and the Art Nouveau following, but I just have a passion for that original, really well thought out, clean, beautiful, wow design. The cars, the clothing, everything. I'm in love. Period.
Dan and Allison, what are your favorite time periods and why?
My favorite time period is definitely like 1967 till about 73.
There you go. Brady Bunch.
Tail end of it when I was growing up. But I never imagined like later in life, I would really like miss my grandmother's wood paneling, or something, you know? And I think it's just growing up, like speaking of the Brady Bunch, like growing up with the Brady Bunch and, you know, we go back to my parents and they had a basement with like a leather bar and like orange stools and, you know, shag carpeting. And And then it went away, you know, in the 80s, it started to, everybody wanted to update and remodel. And my parents took out all the, you know, the shag carpets and we didn't have wood paneling, but I really yearned for it when I got in my 90s. I was really, when I was in the 90s, growing up in my 20s, I missed it. I missed that aesthetic. Mm. And then it's come back. Retro is mm-hmm. never been bigger. It's funny we call it retro because I just say the 70s, you know, the 70s retro now, or the 60s.
Should have kept all our clothes.
Yeah. I mean, that, like the era that I grew up in is vintage, but I do love it. I really love the designer, Jonathan Adler. I've got a lot of his stuff in my house because it's updated. It's got the feel of it, but it's not used. Does that make sense? Yeah. I mean, I like to mix a lot of antiques from San, like if I go to Palm Springs, I'll go to Sunny Dunes where all the antique shops are. And I got a ton of colored vases and vintage artwork with new furniture. So I like kind of mix it up a bit, living a little bit in this century, but I prefer the 60s and the 70s.
Cool.
Dan, what about you?
I got a kindred spirit with you. Did you keep that bar that you said your parents had?
I wish. And I got to tell you, you'll appreciate this. When I was growing up, my parents got Bugsy Siegel's bar, his real.
Oh, my God.
It was taken out of his house in Holmby Hills. The house stood there forever empty. And then they were going to demolish it in 73. My dad knew the builder and he said, come get this bar. And it's just this beautiful mahogany bar. About five people could sit at it. Mm. And my dad sort of built a little mini guest house in our yard around this bar. And when my mom sold the house a few years ago, I couldn't take it. You know, it built into the wall. It would like the whole house would fall apart.
Oh my God.
Still there. And
that's a big deal.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
That's a big deal. I would just be like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree. I think that the 60s were a fantastic time for design. I mean, we obviously went through the Depression and everybody was being really cautious about how they were spending money. And, you know, so in the 1950s, all of this Scandinavian clean line, really simple, easy to make, inexpensive architecture became popular. And it's still beautiful, right? It's great to see a piece of furniture be minimal. But in the 60s, they started to get a little luxe, right? We had all of this technology mm-hmm. from space and Sputnik, and they were finally able to do molded plastics. Mm-hmm. And people were finally unafraid to spend money on their homes and do things like put a bar in it. Like that was a sign that you made it. And right. I think especially right now coming out of quarantine, like that's going to be a popular thing. People want to be able to entertain at home. Like I have just started to creep out of my house a little bit and it's a little bit scary. I know I want to get back to normal. I want to be comfortable there, but for the time being, the idea of having friends over to my house with a 1960s bar sounds like the ideal way to spend a weekend.
That would be fun.
Can you build me one? Can you come over and
be good.
I mean, I was raised with bars in the house. So I totally know what you mean about just everybody kind of getting together slowly, kind of, we're kind of going out, but gatherings are going to be bigger than ever at people's mm-hmm. homes.
So. Do you find that working in the homes and stuff now that things are changing the way people are designing because of everything that happened with COVID?
Interesting.
I think that people have readjusted as far as they can and maxed out their lifestyle at home and really reinvented their homes to the maximum, because I don't think some people are going back to the office. And I think the world has changed permanently with how people are living and working from home. And I think it's a game changer. And I know that Dan probably is aware of it and Allison hears it because it's, you know, we all are living through it and hearing how people are surviving. And I have clients that they already have to remodel, but this has put a little, hey, I really should be doing this because this is real and I need to, you know, work at home and be really flexible. So yeah, it's a game changer.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how many of us during quarantine cleaned out the closets and the drawers? Like, you know,
I definitely did.
I we all found things we didn't even know we had.
Yeah.
Well, I did the opposite. Online shopping was way too easy and I collected too much stuff.
I did both. I kind of cleaned everything out and then rebought a lot of stuff. So now I got to clean out again. But
no, it's funny.
It's
I really think that the way people live at home is changing. I mean, for so the last like 20 years, it's been all about open concept because everybody would be at school or at work all day and you would come home and want to have the opportunity to be together. And now for the first time, we want separation because we're together all the time.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So having that home office, having a space that works as a guest room, you know, and some sort of flex space, whether it's like a workout room or a playroom for kids, is becoming really important to a lot of clients. And the great room is serving one purpose and the rest of the house is having to serve multiple purposes.
Yes, I agree. It's a total game changer. And it's kind of refreshing because like any major change or it forces you to shake it up a little bit, you know, purge and then rethink everything. So it's been kind of fun for me to watch and see how this happens, because there's always a nice shiny light at the end of the tunnel, right? Because it's been ridiculous, but we're almost out of it.
Are you finding that people are somewhat being drawn to vintage homes because of those separations in the rooms now, especially as new home buyers or starting that way, just because of that, as opposed to getting something new that's really open?
What do you
I really think there's a couple factors driving people towards older homes. One, like we've all seen, the housing market has grown throughout COVID. So houses are becoming more and more expensive. And the idea of a new home that has everything you want sounds great, but getting an older home in an established, wonderful neighborhood is good. And it comes with a lot of character. And you have the opportunity to, you know, modernize the kitchen if you want, but still have, you know, a beautiful stone fireplace, which we don't build with natural materials enough anymore. Everybody's so intent on things being so easy to clean that they're missing out on like that natural patina that happens with organic materials.
I agree, because like Allison said, all of a sudden these people are being drawn to these neighborhoods because they get the style. They get it. They want to live in that style home. They want to live in a house that looks like Vegas during this 50s and 60s, you know, or, you know, Palm Springs modern. So there's a whole thing of people getting it and then wanting to, you know, buy a home in a better neighborhood that isn't the new tract home, because I wouldn't buy an tract home or pre-planned. Yeah, I'd love, you know, vintage. It's a whole different thing if you get it. Yeah, there's not that big of a deal about brand new anymore, I don't think.
I think also the houses out in Palm Springs have that open floor plan type house, those you know, mid-century modern homes. And everybody kind of wants to live in that, you know, that Sinatra cocktail lounge era, you know, with some glass. And those houses are so conducive for entertaining.
It's
like the movie Casino, and Sinatra's actually home together. That's it. That just describes it.
Yeah.
Well, and if you want to be green, it's the best way. Don't build a new house.
The artist Shag. I don't know if you know that artist, Shag. Yes. But I feel like everyone in Palm Springs wants to like live in one of his paintings, you know, like it's just got like the vintage cars and the lounging by the pool, and photography has become really popular again, you know, showing the different vintage eras and movies couldn't be bigger with, you know, the TCM, you know, film classics they play. I feel like we're always being turned on to new eras that we weren't that familiar with. You know, from Art Deco to, you know, Blake Edwards films, I always like to watch and look at the aesthetics and the design of those homes, because they were real at the time. You know,
that's the cool part.
Now we were talking about, you know, some of the restaurants around LA too, like the Formosa, which if you walk into the Formosa, it's literally like walking into a 1940s film. It's just incredible.
I just love that. Oh, that place.
Yeah. That was, you know, I always try to tell developers, if you have something that's vintage and it looks cool, don't change it. You know,
exactly.
Don't upgrade it. Keep it the way it is. I mean, look at the House of Roosevelt. You walk through that and that beautiful Hollywood feel of when you walk in, you can just feel Marilyn Monroe walking through.
Exactly.
And I feel like with the Bel Air, they recently upped it. They upgraded, and it's so contemporary. And I just don't feel
kind of lost a flavor. It lost some flavor. Yeah. I went there for tea reason 2 years ago, and it is kind of bland in there. About to criticize.
They need to put it back. And what happened with the original owner of the Formosa decided to upgrade, and we're going to renovate the place and make it different. total fail. Nobody went. I mean, I don't even think a set designer in Hollywood could recreate what Bobby Green and his company did when they came into the Formosa. They put everything back. And that's what we want. We actually want familiarity a little bit,
yes,
too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, you want to look something and walk in going, oh, I remember when I was here as a teenager. It's like
that's
going to
a theater,
you
the best places don't change anything. You know,
the best quarantine was the drive-in theater. It's back.
Yeah.
You know, people are going to the drive-ins because they're too freaked out to sit in theaters anymore. But I think it's here to stay. And that's a very cool vintage outing to do.
That's true. Exactly.
Yeah. And I think not only the drive-ins, but I've noticed a lot of people are picnicking again and doing parties as picnics. And it's kind of cool to see people gathering in a different way. And especially enjoying things that, I mean, I know as a kid, I used to enjoy, and seeing that come back, because I feel, especially with like kids nowadays, they did lose some of that. So,
oh yeah, the outdoor experience was gone with all the high tech, and now it's, you know, back, I think. So
it's definitely coming back, which is cool. Now, I know working in these vintage homes and buildings and recreating and bringing them back to life, what are some of the challenges that you guys have faced?
Well, they have to, Dan, go ahead on that one too, because you're doing them on camera, so it's kind of fun. And I know the behind the scenes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we know a lot of the same issues. People want bigger spaces, and if you are working with a 1950s home, people weren't using trusses and steel beams in a home to create these big open spaces. So often we have a lot of structural issues to give people the open concept that they want. Asbestos, termites, electrical that is completely out of date. The bones are good. You know, they say good bones for a reason, because that's great. But there is a lot of the intricacies that need some heavy upgrades.
Yeah, it's I had a house in the back bay of Newport Beach where a young couple bought it, and it was the old neighborhood. Everybody was 90 on the street. They were the youngest. And it had 1, 2, 3, 4 rooms. It was, just 4. And when you walked in the door, I thought I was walking into the house from the movie Casino. They had not judged anything. So I was so like, oh God, we can't change this. But of course we blew it all out. And I had to build a steel cage, like a big steel cage with 5 or 6 legs to remove all the walls. So that cost a pretty penny, but we did it by building a steel cage to hold up the roof and the side walls. And we gutted it, except for the bedrooms. So it was pretty fabulous, but the amount of money it takes to convert them is could be challenging.
Now, do you feel by converting them and making these changes, it takes away from the vintageness and the history of it? Or do you think it just kind of adds a little change and charm to bring it more modern?
Well, I know you can keep the vintage with the look and the exterior and the architecture outside. So it depends on what you do. Like what Dan does on the finished touches is what makes it or breaks it or speaks to you when you walk in the door, is the furnishings. So,
unfortunately, I think that's a personal thing. I mean, everybody has a different perspective on that. And we've run into a lot of criticism with Frozen in Time that people think that we're erasing history. And I understand historical preservation. I respect it. And I think there's a time and a place for it. But, you know, we're designing homes on that show for specific homeowners. And if they want a more modern look with the taste of history, that's what we're going to give them. And for me, I think that is the best way to go. I don't think that you can get stuck in the past. There are great things about everybody's past. And you can probably walk into any home from any era and find something that is worth treasuring and keeping. But, you know, tile countertops are rough to work with. It's just, nobody wants to wipe that down every day. And those are the little things that make your life difficult. So let's give you a home that makes your life easier so you can sit back and enjoy the things that you love.
Yes. Modernization makes it better, but you can still keep that look. And when we did the HGTV shows with Dan, when you walked in that door, when they were finished, it was still 50s, 60s. And we'd taken walls out, and I felt like I was right there going back in time. It was there. So it's possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Watching the show, Dan, I noticed that a lot of, well, as most people know, living in Laguna, the topography is a little difficult to work with. So how did that and being in Laguna make some of those homes more difficult, or was it easier?
I mean, every challenge is an opportunity. It just depends on how you look at it, right? There are things that, you know, the house that we renovated in Laguna Hills was a very small footprint, and they were trying to pack a lot of life and activity into that space. And we ran into that. Greg was disappointed with the original layout of the kitchen. So we moved some things around and we took advantage of the space in a more specific way. And he decided he would rather be able to have a bigger kitchen than to sit and enjoy the fireplace and the view at the same time. Honestly, the hardest thing about the show in Laguna was filming. you guys are very strict.
The filming and the neighbors. Oh my God.
Yeah, our cameraman stepped on the street, and you are not allowed to step on any public space. And somebody called, and we had the cops there within 10 minutes.
And they had to stay and watch us.
Yeah.
It was hilarious, but not.
I understand. I mean, we do our best to try to be respectful in the neighborhood. And that's the same attitude that we take when we're respecting these older homes, is that this is about more than just us. This is about a home story. This is about a neighborhood story. And you have to go in with that respect. But the architecture in that home specifically was beautiful. And
it was architect, Mr. Langmore, and he'd done 60 homes up on that hill, and the house walls, Allison, were not like this. They were like this. And this, it was like a shoebox on its side. It was so cool.
It was like he took the shape of the bluff and then made the house that same shape.
Oh yeah, that's what he probably did, because he did all the hill up there. He did the whole hill before the roads were even done, way back when, way 60s, because the roads were up there in the 50s. So it was the original architect. So that was cool. But then the homeowner told us a story about how she thinks the house was haunted. So my workers saw dark shapes in the room, and doors would slam and toilet seats would come down with nobody there. Okay, I think it was haunted.
Oh, I missed that. was that Gordon?
Gordon was there. One of my painters swears that he shoved him and he rolled down the steps. He really rolled down the steps because somebody pushed him. So I don't know. It gave me the chills.
We were warned that if we took those walnut cabinets out of that house, that Gordon was going to be mad. And Gordon had passed away a year before we started the renovation.
Yes.
Passed the house on to his two sons. So we were working with one of the brothers who was getting ready to take over the house. And there were specific items that we were told, if this leaves the house, my dad is going to be mad. Yep. And it left momentarily. It did. We did take it out, but we preserved it and we brought it back.
And
hopefully Gordon was happy.
And Allison and Alyssa, orange shade carpet, wood paneling, wall to wall. I mean, you were walking back in so much time. It was insane. His little bar was right there. And that's the first thing the son demoed. It was really amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. It was orange shade. It's beautiful.
Now, Allison, I know that you're with your Instagram and your Facebook, you did mark that Museo and Frank's and the Rainbow Bar, they all had some remodels and refinishing and all of that. What about those historical buildings drew you to them? What do you love about them? Did they preserve it nicely?
Well, you know, you're talking about, I used to produce, I didn't even know if you know this, I used to produce Trading Spaces.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, back in the day. And I produced Merge with Lisa Rinna. I don't know if you remember that show.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot about design, just producing that and being, you know, watching the designers and merge furniture together and take walls down. And, you know, and I was always, if we went into a vintage home and we had to take something down, it was like, oh God, no. But it always looked amazing because the reveal was always fun for the homeowners to see their vision come to life. Since then, I've moved out of reality TV and became very involved with preservation of LA and the vintage LA show I do on Spectrum. And so part of my job, and it's amazing, is to go to the vintage places around LA and learn their history. I just did a piece on Canners, which is 90 years. And El Coyote, which is 90 years. Mm-hmm. And again, you go into those places, it's like a time capsule, but it's not stale looking. It doesn't feel like it needs an upgrade. You want it to stay that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it is challenging to keep it that way. They don't make certain things anymore. like some of the leather, the patent leather tufting on some of these boots, like at Dantan, as if they rip. It's really hard to find that exact color because some of those boots are back, you know, going back since to the 1940s and 50s. Wow. And it's original. I always try to tell developers, like I said, don't rip everything down. I understand this is Los Angeles. It's like a movie set. Things go up, things come down. Nothing's going to last forever. But look at the Sunset Towers on Sunset Boulevard, that beautiful Art Deco tower where they just don't build things like that. Let's not lose all of the Art Deco buildings around town. I mean, Wilshire Boulevard was all Art Deco at one point, and it's kind of all gone. Thankfully, they saved the May Company building, which is going to be the new Academy Museum. Oh. So I think we are at the place where we are appreciating our history in Los Angeles, but maybe, and hopefully around the world. I know Europe does, but we appreciate our cultural heritage here. We're not just a Hollywood set. We should be keeping some of the things on Sunset Strip, which is almost unrecognizable to me at this point, living here 50 years now. But the Rainbow's been landmarked. The Whiskey A Go-Go has been landmarked. They can never be altered. They can never be torn down. I wish we could do really this with every, you know, every old building. But I like featuring those places. I really am the old school gal. I like the old school places. Mousson French, I'm going back there on Thursday night for their reopening. They've been closed for 1 year.
Finally.
Oh, yeah.
I want to go. Yeah.
So they just celebrated 100 years in 2019. And this will be their 102nd, you know, 102 years now. Wow. And to think that they had to be, shut down for one full year during the greatest time of their life after celebrating 100 years. And when you walk in there for the first time after a year, which I'm sure I'm going to cry, it's seeing the vintage bar that we're talking about. I don't know if we're ready to sit at the bars quite yet. I don't know if the bartenders will be there, but just knowing it's there.
And they didn't touch it.
Going to be there in the future. I can't wait to have a martini at a, you know, at a vintage bar in LA and feel my heritage and feel the Hollywood history here again. So I'm really excited that we are getting to that point.
I think that's the most magical place out there other than maybe the Chateau Marmont, but.
And Chateau Marmont may not be open, may not be, you know, available.
It's not. I don't think we're ever going to get back in there to hang out. You're going
to have to know somebody to be invited. It's like the Magic Castle now.
Yep, that's what I thought.
Know a member. I can't imagine that happening, but I guess it's already happened where one of the most historic, most incredibly looking hotels with probably more history than any hotel in Hollywood that still exists is now closed members only club.
I know I was there right before COVID and I'm glad I got back in there and it was fabulous just sitting at that bar. Oh my God. So
well, who do you know that we can get back in?
I'll find out.
I become a member just so I could sit at that bar.
It's now amazing. We did get a few listener questions, so I want to ask them. The first one comes from Anne. She said, I need to do flooring and paint the walls. I have a lot of things in the room. What do I do to start? In what order should things be done? Walls, floor, kitchen remodel?
Dan, you answer.
Well, everybody wants to start with paint because it's the easiest, but paint is last. You can get paint in literally any color. So you pick your most difficult materials first. Flooring and cabinets are both high budget items. You need to go shopping for things that are within your budget that you feel like work for you and your aesthetic, and paint last. Don't go easy. It's fun to think on a weekend like, oh, I'm going to get this project started. I'm going to paint the walls, but you're probably going to have to repaint later.
Right. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing natural countertops, pick your granite or marble or whatever, because that comes from God's earth, and that's where your colors start. You pull the colors out of the natural product, and then you go from there and buy the manufactured products after. Then paint is dead last, like nail polish, dead last.
We've got one more here from Locals for Laguna Beach. They asked, if you had free reign to design and remodel from scratch, what style would it be in?
Who wants
to go first?
I think I've already there.
Yeah.
I've lived in LA so many years and I've lived in many, many places, but I finally found the places I feel like, thankfully I was here during quarantine and I really wanted it to look like a scene out of Peter Sellers movie from the 1960s. And I just that open floor plan. I like wallpaper. I really love wallpaper. can't see any behind me right now, but my kitchen is wallpapered. My bedroom is wallpapered. I want to do another wallpapered wall. And I love a lot of texture, and I love color. And I love, I just love vintage pieces that I find in antique shops and flea markets and auctions. And yeah, I'm still, it's never done, is it? We're never done.
Never. That's the fun part, constant.
I don't know. I have a difficult time with brand new construction that looks old. I feel like if it was built in 2020, it should look like it was built in 2020. And you can bring in all those layers and flavor with the pieces. Like, find some vintage pieces to put in a cool modern space. And you instantly put like layers of, you know, color and texture and history on top of each other. And the character pops out of it. So for me, like, a super clean, super modern home with all those vintage pieces brought into it would be the way to go.
Cool. I, of course, already kind of said it, but there's a movie, Palm Beach Story, one of those movies where everything's kind of white and bright. It's weird because I like modern, but I'm into vintage. And Hearst Castle is one of my favorite spots, but I like that clean Art Deco, just peaceful kind of clean lines and gray tones and warm French grays and real, and a little, the bronze, that bronze, you know, not the shiny, lots of diamonds, but bronze, you know, just all that vintage everything. So that's my thing. It's just little Hollywood glam. Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite house that you've done?
Well, the Wallace Neff would have to be my number one favorite because it's Mediterranean. You can get a little Art Deco feel from it, but it is Hollywood glam because there are no Art Deco homes really out there unless you catch some with a little crown moldings left and a little details. So there's more buildings left on it, you know, like the department stores over there on Wilshire. But my favorite would be the Wallace Neff. And then, of course, the Friars Club in New York City, because that was just over the top. And I got to do the Frank Sinatra room and the Milton Berle room and help them remodel their locker room. So the two old guys that took me upstairs to the locker room said, as they were giggling, "You're the first woman ever in our locker room." And I said, "Let me see the stalls. You got to have them replaced because they're falling apart." So, but I like that era because the Frank Sinatra room and the Milton Berle room were like wood paneled, you know, English Tudor, you know, which kind of lends to that English Tudor, and the Hearst Castle, because I could go to Hearst Castle every day. But my other favorite design, because I'm doing it now, is Tony Baxter's house, which is English country, because he's Walt Disney kind of imaginary, picked up all that English Tudor. So we're replicating vintage things from that time period for him. And it's just fabulous. And we just finished the Mary Poppins theme in his backyard, because one day he said, "I need a Mary Poppins theme." So he went out and bought 10 lampposts, and we did it and put moonlighting in the trees and everything. So it's like a movie set in the backyard with real moonlight. So that's probably the second favorite project. So that's, those are my two top two. Mm-hmm. Well, Friars Club is three. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank Instagram, because we can see everything you've done.
Yeah, there you go. And I should post some more pictures, because I don't have the Friars Club pictures, but I should have them somewhere. I might even have them in my little portfolio that's in the closet, because I saved everything. So I'll start posting more. So
well, speaking
but of, I did the Georgian Hotel in Santa Monica, and I did all the furniture and the lobby and all the colors and help. And that was fabulous because they let me design custom furniture, Dan. This is 25 years ago, for every room, the armoires, the chairs, the bedding. I picked out everything, the accessories in the bathrooms, the lobby furniture was all custom made by me from a little guy in South Central way back when. And it was all Art Deco. And I just loved that. And their speakeasy was still intact. So you could get the feeling you were back in the 30s downstairs in that basement speakeasy. So, okay, there's four. Okay, yeah.
Better well, hurry up. There's going to be five.
I know. The fifth one's going to come in now, right?
You do great work. It's hard.
I'm thinking.
But speaking of tagging and posting and seeing, how can people follow you and see what you guys are up to and see the homes you're working on? Plug yourself, guys.
I'm at Julie Lawton DB on Instagram, and everybody knows my website, just my name, Julie Lawton, L-A-U-G-H-T-O-N, like Charles Lawton, the Hunchback of Notre Dame. I'm actually related. It's kind of fun.
We're bringing back all kinds of, like, spirits and ghosts and stuff in this.
I know, it's weird, because my last name is my great-grandmother's maiden name, because she never married, so isn't that cool? She was a single mom in 1912 and a school teacher. So I kept my maiden name my whole life.
On Instagram, I'm Dan_Vickery or Dan Vickery Design for my website. Also on Facebook, just Dan Vickery.
Easy.
Yeah.
Allison?
And I guess you can find me under my name, Allison Martina, 1L. Allison Martina. I also go under Vintage Los Angeles as well. Mm-hmm. And I've posted at least, I don't know, I'm thinking like maybe 40,000 photographs I've already put up online. I mean, you'll see everything from Union Station to Frank Lloyd Wright houses to the inside of restaurants from 30s hotels. I'm like the DeLorean of the internet. I just keep driving old LA photos that just keep reminding we need to know the past in order to move forward. So I love that.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys for joining us today, and we will get this posted online. So if anybody missed any of it, I'll have it up today. It'll be on kxfmradio.org. Thank you guys for joining us, Julie, Dan, and Allison. It was a blast. It really was.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yay.
Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye. That was fun. Thank you.